Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It is out of hand in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Sponsored by Max Muscle Sports Nutrition. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. We're coming to you from the winter meetings outside of Washington, D.C. The Giants obviously made their big move yesterday, getting Mark Melancon a four-year deal for $62 million. That's currently the record for a relief pitcher, breaking Jonathan Papelbon's record of $50 million. That's going to be shattered over the next few days. Kenley Jansen and Aroldis Chapman both expected to get much more than that, which is part of the reason Mark Melancon is a Giant. And yesterday, as part of the process, I sat down with General Manager Bobby Evans. We went one-on-one on Melancon, on left field, on Buster Posey playing in the World Baseball Classic, some other stuff. And we're kind of going to repurpose that here. That was for TV, but we have the audio here and going to turn it into a podcast. And then if you stick around, Adam Berry, who covered Melancon for 2 years for MLB.com, I asked him about what he's like and found out some interesting things, including the fact that the Giants now have a second shark, apparently. So it Gregor Blanco probably on the way out. The white shark is gone, but the Giants now have Samardzija and Melancon, both of whom are sharks. So congrats to the Giants ownership and Larry Berry. You don't have to kind of redo all that stuff. They can just repurpose everything and still sell those shark hats. I think should work out well. Here first is Bobby Evans and then Adam Berry. You get your closer. I saw your manager earlier, a very happy man. How did this all go down? I know this is somebody you've been after for a while.
Well, it's a long process. I mean, when you're dealing with free agency, there's a lot of choices for these guys. And in our case, there's a lot of good options for us. And so, you know, doing our own work to determine who is the best fit and ultimately, glad that that guy chose us over his other options. But, you know, we had a face-to-face with him. We've been in multiple sessions with his agent trying to figure out a way to get a deal done. And, again, you're measuring, your chances of getting him versus other scenarios. And we're just very fortunate to be able to get it done today.
You guys were connected to Chapman, connected to Jansen. You've talked about trade options. What made Mark ultimately the right fit for the Giants?
Well, a lot of good options, but I think with his durability, looking at him the last 4 or 5 years, leading amongst the leaders in baseball in saves the last 4 years. He's a guy who has soft contact, high ground ball rate. He's just a overall quality. Not only on the field, but in the clubhouse. So he's a great fit for us.
How much should you guys look at it? I know the exit velocity for him was low and the home run rate was low. Look at things other than maybe the traditional strikeout metrics for a reliever.
Yeah, we had to. I mean, just because there's a lot of good numbers to look at with him. Each guy had their own pluses. In his case, his exit velocity was extremely low, and that was an advantage, but a lot of other things too. I mean, durability played a big part.
He comes with a good reputation around the game. I know talking to beat writers who have covered him, getting to know him a little bit over the last month, what have you learned about him maybe as a person, as somebody who'll be a leader for that bullpen?
Well, he's rock solid. I mean, and he's very analytical about his game and his preparation. He doesn't take anything for granted. So he's going to be a great example for all of our guys. I think our guys are going to learn from him. I think he'll enjoy working with our staff, his teammates. I think he's going to fit in real well. I think overall, as an individual, he stands out. I mean, he's a game changer in terms of how he approaches the game, and I think that his role will be crucial for us.
For you personally, having just missed out on him at the trade deadline, is there any any relief, I guess, to bring this guy in? Obviously somebody that you've liked for a while.
Yeah, I mean, we did a lot of work leading up to the deadline and looking at our options there, and he certainly stood out even back then. So, you know, to be able to get him now is, you know, certainly, you know, satisfying and gives us a lot of hope as we go forward with the rest of our bullpen and our club that we'll have a chance to compete for our division.
Do you feel like that bullpen's pretty set given the guys you have? Corey Guerin signed a one-year deal last week. Does it feel like there's not going to be a whole lot left to be done there?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to bring in some competition, but yeah, I mean, we'll be very pleased with guys returning from last year, and Strickland and Law and as you mentioned, Osich and Okert and Guerin and Contos. We feel good about our core, and again, there'll be competition in the spring, but that's part of it.
He is currently the highest paid reliever ever as he passes his physical here and gets into San Francisco. That probably will change, I guess, with Chapman or Jansen. But in your meetings organizationally and with Larry and ownership, what kind of a sea change was it for you guys to commit to doing something like that?
Well, it was hard. I mean, we had to look not only at this current 2017 season coming up, but also going forward and what that would look like for our payroll and really the makeup of the club. And, you know, when you're paying that much for a closer, what you're not paying for as well. And so it was, you know, certainly a hard, hard journey to get to this point and make the deal. But, again, we're very pleased to have him.
You've been pretty open, I think, about not just what you needed in the ninth, but the fact that you do want in left field to see Mac and Jarrett potentially get a shot here. Is that still the way you feel as you look at your options here in December?
Yeah, I mean, they're not getting any younger, and they deserve an opportunity. But we also are not going to give them the jobs. I mean, they have to come out and earn them, and there'll be competition. There'll be other options. And, you know, there may be trade scenarios or other scenarios that allow us to bring in, you know, a guy that's going to be, you know, hard to beat. But right now, you know, we just have to, you know, give them the opportunity if nothing develops. That's really how I look at it. We've got to keep our doors open, but an opportunity where they're competing in the spring is a win for us. But ultimately, you know, they have to go out and prove it. And, you know, part of our organization being strong is giving young players a chance. And again, when they get to be, you know, past 25 and 26, they're not as young anymore. And these guys are getting older and they need that opportunity.
Do you feel like you can be patient here the next couple weeks, couple months, and maybe there are a lot of big names out there, a lot of big outfielders, a lot of sluggers, guys who could maybe add power. Does it allow you, knowing that Melanson's done, to wait and maybe see how some of that shakes out?
Yeah, because, again, I think we have the fallback option with Williamson and Parker. That's a good option for us. So I think it does take a lot of pressure off of us.
Finally, the other news today, aside from Melanson, his future catcher, Buster Posey, officially announces is a World Baseball Classic participant, I guess. What do you guys think on that and the fact that Buster will represent you and represent the country in a way?
No, I think we're very proud. I mean, I think he'll do a great job for the WBC team, and it's a great way to, you know, for him to finish getting ready for the season or finish getting ready for the spring. And I think for us, it wouldn't be right for him not to be out there.
You guys, the last time around, I know there were some concerns about guys who played and maybe got hurt during the year. With him, because he doesn't play that much during spring training, is a little bit less. He can just go out there and get his at-bats, and they don't have that many WBC games.
Well, I think Major League Baseball is doing a lot to try to help make sure that the risk is mitigated with the, you know, three catchers on every team and the number of pitchers and the number of pitches and innings that they'll be expected to throw. So they're doing everything they can to mitigate those risks, and so we feel confident that Buster will be fine.
Big day for you guys. Thank you for joining us.
Yep,
and congratulations on getting your closer.
Thank you, Alex.
Thanks, Bobby. Adam Berry, you covered Mark Melanson for 2 years. I guess we know the numbers, but how does he get to those numbers?
It's not flashy. I'm sure people have heard the term boring before. He's not a really exciting high strikeout pitcher. It's an incredibly well-located cutter at all times and a really good curveball. The Pirates like to point out his low exit velocity, the numbers off the bat, extremely low, a lot of tappers back to the mound, just ruthlessly efficient. Melanson, everything is three pitches or less. He works at it. He's added changes to his timing to confuse hitters. There's a lot of the mental stuff that he succeeds at, which you kind of have to do in that role when you don't have the purely overwhelming stuff like an Aroldis Chapman or a Kenley Jansen.
You spent some time as an intern covering the Giants. I know you still follow them, so you know what the way their season went, the way the second half went, the way the playoffs went, obviously. It sounds like Melanson just the no drama, no, this won't be a Casillas situation, we won't be sweating every night, if it goes well.
Right. It seems like he's basically the opposite of the whole torture thing. It's just
okay,
kind of
good.
Get in, you know, maybe you'll get one man on base and strike out, Tapper back to the mound, he's out of it. It is pretty boring. The Pirates were kind of spoiled by it, too, just by how efficient he was and how consistent he was. And I think the thing that stands out to me, and it's something he takes a lot of pride in, is that he's incredibly consistent in a really volatile profession, which is relief pitching. So, I mean, I think it's a big contract, but it's worth it for just sort of that stability.
Bobby mentioned his preparation, the work he does, and it was something when they talked to him, he didn't want to give details, but he said, we talked to him, we talked about his preparation process, what he does, why we shouldn't be concerned about his durability and all the appearances he's made. What do you know about the way he prepares?
He's basically invested very heavily in his body. He's involved in this very complicated process where he gets his blood tested for certain vitamins and nutrients and all this kind of stuff. He's very aware of that. I think it's something he got after some injury concerns earlier in his career. It's something that he sort of reinvested in. He was very into the Pirates, like mental skills stuff as well. That's something that as a team I think he fit very well in. He was really close with the Pirates director of analytics, or their quantitative analyst, who traveled in the clubhouse. Actually, when he made the All-Star game in San Diego last year, he brought the traveling analyst with him as part of his party. I mean,
is the stats guy in his entourage?
A little bit, yeah. There's no stone unturned, basically, with Mark Melancon.
Personality-wise, again, you know that clubhouse, a lot of the same guys who were there that you've seen and met. How's he going to mesh with those guys?
I don't think he's going to command a lot of attention, probably. He'll get a lot of respect because he has done it so well for the last however many years, but he's not a huge personality. He's very likable. I think people who get to know him really come to appreciate him. He's a little quiet, especially at first, but just a really smart guy, really thoughtful. He was pretty involved in the Pirates' leadership. Clint Hurdle, the manager, had a leadership council with some of the players that he trusted for clubhouse issues. He was involved in the players' union leadership, helping out Garrett Cole and Neil Walker. So, a veteran, very well-respected. I think guys will see that. But it'll probably be nice from his point of view that he doesn't have to come in and be, like, the guy, I think. Also shares a nickname with Jeff Samardzija, so maybe you can...
He's a shark?
He's a shark, Mark the Shark Melancon. And in Pittsburgh, the bullpen was called the Shark Tank when he was a closer.
I didn't know that. We lost Gregor Blanco. We lost we're losing a shark.
Right.
So now we have two sharks still. That's going to get confusing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Since you cover the Pirates, I've asked you two Pirates questions. One, our guy Ryan Vogelsong. What do you know about the way the season ended and maybe what he said on his way out in terms of his future?
Yeah, he said that he wasn't done, which I think is probably the least surprising thing for anybody who's ever spoken to Ryan Vogelsong. He had some moments in August. He pitched really well. He struggled down the stretch. He had such a tumultuous year with the face injury, the broken bone near his eye. But he wants to keep pitching. He said he'll go out and find a deal somewhere, which I believe that just given his competitive nature, he'll take something and go to camp and work for a job.
I know I'm not going to be covering Andrew McCutchen next year, but are you going to be covering Andrew McCutchen next year?
Boy, that is the question that I've been asked a million times at these meetings. I don't think so. I think there's enough smoke out there right now, and I think if they hold the line long enough, they will get the offer that they're looking for. I don't know if it's going to happen this week, and I think they would have a lot of awkwardness to overcome potentially if he does come back. So we'll see. I guess we'll find out soon, hopefully.
For outsiders, for people in San Francisco, I mean, we know the money, we know he's going to be a free agent in a couple of years, but what's the overarching is, like, why? Because it's basically he's their Buster Posey.
That's completely accurate. They're a small market team with limited revenue streams. They have increased payroll the last couple of years, but $100 million is basically the cap, which is kind of funny because that's basically the money the Giants throw around in the offseason to improve the rotation because they need to. The Pirates view basically as the responsibility to overturn the roster. So if McCutchen is a year or two removed from free agency, this is the time where he still has some value left. Maybe you can get a slew of young players in return. And the example that Neil Huntington, the general manager, cites is actually the Mark Melancon trade with the Washington Nationals, where they traded 2 months of an all-star proven closer for 4 or 5 years of Felipe Rivero, a young, hard-throwing setup man, and then a lottery ticket, hard-throwing, 100-mile-an-hour fastball prospect in the lower levels. So you reload the system with young players, it works even better if it's guys at the major league level, but it leads to a lot of tough decisions and conversations like this one.
Well, Adam Berry, MLB.com, thank you for the time. I never want to take more than 5 minutes of anybody's time at the winter meetings, so we'll end it there. Everybody has to check their phones. Thanks for the time, and thanks for letting us know. We have a second shark now.
That's right. Thank you.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.